Amen. Today we get to celebrate what God is doing through ministries like the Houston Coalition for Life in a couple of ways. Today we focus specifically on the sanctity of human life, right? The idea that we as human beings have a value about us that is worth bringing to the fullness of all that God has created us for. And so we are blessed to be able to partner with organizations like CareNut and the Houston Coalition for Life in order to not only the goal, while it is certainly to help pregnant mothers get to a point where they would like to give birth to their children, where they make that choice. These ministries are doing so much more than that, and they really are supporting the sanctity of human life even beyond birth, right? That is what's so exciting about these two ministries in particular, and so exciting about how what we get to celebrate today in this worldwide day of celebrating the sanctity of human life. We get to acknowledge the fact that because of what God is doing in us, because it is God Himself who has created us, it is worth it for us to say something when there are so many that so many lives that are being lost on a daily basis. And we want to make sure that we as a church are communicating that not only are we communicating that we believe that the Word of God shows us that abortion is wrong, but we are not just a church that is standing up for what is or against what is wrong, but we are also standing up for those that find themselves in hard situations. We want to be a church that is here for moms that are feeling this tug of well, I'm pregnant, but I don't know what to do. Like we want to be a supportive church there too. We're not just here to say, well, I can't believe you did that, and you're going to hell for it. Actually, just the opposite. We want to let people know that there is a Redeemer, and His name is Jesus, and you can be saved, and your child can be saved, and we can be made whole, and that this doesn't have to be the end of the story, right? And it's so good to know that through the good news of Jesus Christ, we can be a redeeming body that is praying for those that may be contemplating these decisions even right now. We certainly want to do all that we can to use our influence legislatively to be able to help save future wounding in whatever way that we can, both to children and parents. But we also want to make sure that we are an engine of the gospel that is sharing good news with everyone that we come in contact with, to let them know that no matter where you have been and what you have done and what you are struggling with even right now, God is able through relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today what I want to do is, actually, let me back up a little bit. Part of the reason we're highlighting these two ministries in particular on this day is because we are focusing on, in January, on the different ministries of our Faith Promise commitments. Each year we take the month of January to kind of raise awareness and support for some additional ministries that we support, even beyond just the funds that come in through your regular tithes and offerings. Just last year, we set a goal of $20,000 to be able to raise for ministries like CareNet and Houston Coalition for Life and other ministries that are all around the world. And I am so thankful. We've mentioned this a couple of times, but we met that goal of $20,000, and we exceeded that even by a little bit as well. And I am so thankful to God for the way that He has been moving on your heart to be so generous, to give to organizations just like these. You are making a difference in the Houston area. You are saving lives, and you are making a difference all around the world in the ministries that we are supporting through our Faith Promise giving and commitments. As we get closer to the end of the month, we are actually going to be asking you to make a Faith Promise commitment for 2021. And we're going to ask you, what is it that the Lord might lay on your heart that you could give over and above your tithes and offerings in order that you might support missions and ministries both locally and around the world? We are making a huge difference for the gospel, and I just want to thank you for the way that you are doing that. Let me just kind of give a little side note here as well. because I don't know if we've celebrated this quite as much, and that is that all of the faith promise stuff is over and above our regular giving, right? Well, if you guys don't realize, you gave so crazy in 2021 that where most congregations actually saw a steep decline in giving, we not only saw an increase, but you, through God's provision in your life and in the generosity of your hearts, we actually there was given funds that exceeded the budget that we even had for last year, which means, by the way, we were able to give funds even above to the missionaries that we support through our budget. We were able to give them more funds than we'd even told them we were going to give. Like, let me just tell you right now, it's amazing to be able to talk to a missionary and say, hey, by the way, we're giving you more money than we plan to give you this year. I hope that's all right. Your generous giving, not only through Faith Promise, but even just in your tithes and offerings, is making a huge impact all around the world, and that should not be taken lightly. God has been moving in a mighty, mighty way, and I'm just so thankful to be able to tell other people that I pastor y'all, right? Because I don't mind at all showing off what God is doing in and through us. And so thank you so much for the way that you've been given. If you would pray with me. God, we thank you so much for your great favor in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for this day where we get to celebrate the value of human life. And we thank you, Lord, for each and every life that we are surrounded with even now, God. And we look to those that are around us, God. And we recognize, Lord, that you have put intrinsic value in each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to interact with each other according to the value that you have put inside of us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see ourselves with the value that you sent Jesus Christ to the cross for us. God, I pray that even as we look ourselves in the mirror, that we would recognize that there is a sanctity to the human life that we are seeing in that mirror as well, Lord. And Father, we intercede on behalf of the unborn this morning as well. Countless millions who have lost their lives. And Lord, we recognize that there are decisions being made even right now. And so, God, we just intercede on behalf of pregnant moms that are wondering what to do and wondering how they can make it and confused and hopeless. God, I pray that you would help them to hear your good news. I pray, Father, that you would help them to get connected with ministries just like CareNet and Houston Coalition for Life. And, Lord, I pray that you would just speak hope and truth and life into the lives of these young women. God, we want to see you glorified. We want to see your good news proclaimed, Father. We want to just exalt you, Father, to everyone and everywhere, Father, whether it's at Planned Parenthood or in our homes or in our jobs. God, we exalt you. Your name is above every name. And you and the power of your Holy Spirit is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. God, we know who you are. We trust you, God. Would you have your way in our lives that we might truly be able to live in a state where we understand the value of the life that is before us? God, I thank you as well for the opportunity we have this morning to break open your word. And I ask, Father, that even as even as I stand before this congregation to preach your word, Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone, God, that you would speak hope and truth and life through me, and that you would help us all just simply say yes to you, however it is that you might be challenging us today. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So last week we began a sermon series on discipleship, right? And it's just in basic, it's just simply called disciples. And so what we're going to do over, I think it's 7 weeks total, is we're actually going to talk about what it is that disciples do. And last week we started out looking at the importance of having that disciples have a biblical foundation, right? And so if we're going to talk about being disciples, we need to make sure that we have a biblical foundation for what it means to be a disciple. If you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you to go and check that out and kind of get caught up on all that there. But it's important for us to have that biblical foundation. Today, what I want us to focus on is the fact that disciples are intentional leaders. Disciples are intentional leaders. And what I want us to think about is how it is that we are actually navigating our lives these days. How intentional are you being with the time that you have, the resources that are made available to you, and the people that are around you? This is as close as I could get to what I actually wanted, but I don't know if you've ever seen movies and those kinds of things with the message in the bottle. Have you ever seen that? That's always sort of intrigued me, right? So like the bottle, it almost always has a cork in it, and you know, it comes in and it might kind of roll up on shore, and then there's somebody there that's like, oh man, the bottle, we better, they pull the message out and everything, which I still don't even know how you get a message out of a bottle like that, because it's just all crammed down in there, but without breaking the bottle. But anyway, that's another thing. And then they'll read it, and it's like, oh, this message, and at least in my mind anyway, whenever I think of the message in the bottle, it's always like a cry for help or something like that, right? Like, I need help, and then they, you know, whatever. And then somebody, you know, will find it, and like, oh, look, they need help. Who are they, right? Like, that's my thing. Like you get this message in the bottle, and it's like, okay, now what? Like, I don't even... What do you just like write a note back like, okay, send me your address, put it in there, like how is that even gonna, I've always been sort of my mind has always sort of been boggled by this idea of the message in the bottle, right? Because let's say you do need help, right? You put it in there, you cork it on, you throw it in the water. Like, how long is that gonna take to get to somebody, right? I mean, I suppose if you're out in the middle of the ocean somewhere, I suppose there could be somebody floating by who, you know, is out there on a little fishing expedition, sees a bottle in the water and decides he's going to save the planet, so he picks the bottle up so he can take it to a landfill or something like that. I don't know. Maybe somebody picks it up the next day. Who knows? But there's also a pretty good chance it could float in the ocean for a really long time, right? And then again, like, even if they find it, like, wherever the bottle went, you aren't there. Right? How are they supposed to help you? Like, where do they send help? I don't know. I guess this idea of the message in the bottle kind of makes me wonder if this isn't kind of what we're doing spiritually sometimes in our own lives, right? Like, we might have this, we recognize that God is out there somewhere, and we know that we need help, and so what we'll do is we might be at a worship service like this, or even kind of watching a service online even, and we sense the stirring of God's Holy Spirit, and so we'll kind of think to ourselves, oh, you know what, I really should do something about it. And so it's kind of like we write the message, and then we'll put it in the bottle, and then we throw the bottle to God, like out in the middle of the ocean somewhere, and then we just continue on with our lives as normal. Right? And I guess the question is, like, when is it that the message is coming back to you? Like, how are they supposed to find you? There's no intentionality to that. Just this idea that I want to be closer to God is just sort of floating out in the middle of the ocean of our lives somewhere. And maybe one of these days it'll roll up on shore to somebody else and they'll pick it up and they won't have any idea actually what you're talking about, but maybe there'll be some sort of connection that'll be able to happen there. See, I think what I'm noticing is that a lot of us are in this sort of this floating in the ocean sort of feel. Like, it's not that we don't want God. It's not that we haven't cried for help. I mean, after all, we wrote, I need help, on the paper and put it in the bottle, and we threw it to our God. It's just that it just seems like it hasn't really done any good yet. See, I think instead, what God might actually want from us is to recognize that He has a cruise liner. He has a cruise liner that is ready to take off. And what's interesting about a cruise liner is that a cruise liner is full of purpose, right? I mean, think about this. The cruise liner is not just in a bay somewhere for you to be get on. It's not there haphazardly. It's there like, and it's leaving at a certain time. And if you ain't on the boat, let me just tell you, they're leaving you behind, right? Like they're not waiting on you. Like they're gone. But when they take off as well, like they know where they're going and they have a destination in mind. Yet at the same time, if there's bad weather that comes up, they can also navigate around that. So it's not just this strict like, well, it has to be this. But when things come up in life, the cruise liner is able to navigate around these things, and the bottle is just subject to the will of the water to go wherever it might happen to go. But the cruise liner, oh, that thing's pushing water out of the way. It's going where it's supposed to go, and it doesn't matter what's in front of it. It is moving where it needs to be. See, I believe that when God sent Jesus to the cross, and Jesus is resurrected from the dead, I believe that he gave us a purpose just like that cruise liner, where we have an opportunity now to be disciples that make disciples. And Jesus didn't die on a cross so that we could just kind of wondrously float in the ocean wondering, well, I wonder if anybody's ever going to see me someday. But rather, that we can have this direct and purposeful approach to what we are doing. So what I want to do today is I want to actually walk through with you a few scriptures to show you some of the intentionality that I believe we ought to have as disciples and as disciple makers. Because here's what it really comes down to for me throughout this whole series. And that is that if you are out there floating around and you happen to bump into somebody else who's floating around, you're not really going to be able to provide much help. But if you're on a cruise liner that happens to see somebody out there floating around, you can pick that bottle up, put it on boat with you, and you guys go in a very specific direction. See there? See, it's not just about how can we find our purpose so that we can be better disciples, but the truth of the matter is that our willingness to engage the mission of Jesus Christ will impact the lives of people around us. And when we don't engage the mission of Jesus Christ, when we're not intentional leaders, that will impact the people around us as well, but it'll happen in ways that we don't see. Because we won't have that spiritual conversation with them. We won't be able to share the gospel with them. And so we'll never know what we could have done because we're just out floating in the ocean. So let's jump into a few scriptures here. How can we be disciples that are intentional leaders, that feel like we are on the cruise liner, right? Well, the first part of it is I think we need to be intentional about identifying some people around us that we can actually talk with and share with and connect with, right? We see this with Jesus even in his acknowledgement of some people that he could spend his time with, right? And so in Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, it says that Jesus went up on a mountainside and he called to him those that he wanted. And they came to him and he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Jesus had a lot of people following him, but there were 12 guys in particular that he identified as like, these 12, I can really pour myself into here. These 12 that are just kind of floating around out there right now, if I'm intentional about pouring into them, then I can get them on the cruise liner as well, and they can be used by God to do amazing things for his kingdom. We can do the same thing too. Let me be clear, we're not all Jesus, right? But until we begin to identify people, even as Jesus did, until we begin to identify some people that we can invest in, we're never going to think about how God might be able to use us to speak into their lives. If we're just out there floating around, well, I bumped into this person and haphazardly bump into that person, well, that's great and all, but I really believe that God has some people around you that he wants you to actually make an impact in their life with the gospel. And so we need to be intentional about identifying those people so that we can minister to them as well. Now, intentional leaders also talk to others about what Jesus has done and is doing, right? And now some of this will, you know, some of you might be thinking, well, oh, of course, like if I'm talking to somebody else about Jesus, then it must be like me sharing my testimony about how I got saved, or maybe it's a Bible study or something like that. And sometimes that can seem very formalized and everything. And what I want to encourage you with is that what we really need to do is we need to kind of get out of the mindset of the classroom and into the mindset of the living room, right? That we as disciples and disciple makers, as we're sharing with other people about Jesus, we don't need to think about it so much so academically, but rather what we need to do is just as if you were talking to people sitting around your own coffee table, right? Talk about life. Talk about what's been going on in your life, some things that the Lord has brought you through. And I think you may find that God is able to use some of those connections, those interactions, and you'll also find that there's a lot less pressure when you take the academic feel out of it, right? So in Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 37, it says, they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what are you arguing about on the road? Or what were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet, because on the way they were arguing about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be last, and the servant of all. So watch this now. This is what's great. He took a little child whom he placed among them, and taking the child in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes me like one of these children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Right, so I need you to just kind of get a picture here for what Jesus is doing, right? The disciples are there. They're arguing about who the best. Oh, I'm the best. I'm better than you are. Like, if there's only one, I'm Jesus' favorite, and y'all know it, right? And so they're arguing with each other about this. And so they get to the house, and Jesus kind of puts them on blast about it, like, yeah, I know what you guys were talking about. None of you are really all that great. By the way, you're all going to deny me when I need you the most, but we'll cross that bridge another day, right? And then as he's sitting there, there's a child that's there. He's like, you, come here. I need you for a minute. And he just has the kid there. Like, it's not like they were in some classroom somewhere and he broke down the theory of servant leadership, you know, for his disciples and led them in some sort of discourse in the five ways in which they can be better servant leaders. No, he pulled a child in front of them that happened to be there in the room, and he said, you really want to be the best? Be like that right there. Right? See, I think that's the kind of intentionality that Jesus is looking for in us as disciple makers. That as we are sharing with people about what Jesus has done in our lives and some of the lessons that we've learned, we don't have to be academically minded, theologically, you know all the theological lingo and those kinds of things. All we need to do is just be real with people and just talk in the places where we are. Because to be honest with you, when we start using all the theological lingo and those kinds of things, a lot of people can't keep up with that. And then they think that if they don't have all the theological lingo, then they can't be disciple makers, and that is not the truth of Scripture. In fact, you might actually be thinking that right now. You might think to yourself, well, I don't know enough about the Bible. I can't disciple somebody else. I don't even know all the books of the Bible. I couldn't tell you what they were right now. Well, praise God for the table of contents in your Bible, and that you and whoever it is that you're talking to around your coffee table can start in the table of contents and find whatever scripture you need to. Or, I mean, I don't know, get your phone out and get on the internet and find whatever verse you need to and whatever translation you need to. Like, God can work through you no matter how limited you might feel. You might think that you are just a bottle floating in the ocean, but I want you to know, if you will be intentional about what it is that God has said inside of you and using what God has said inside of you, you can proclaim the gospel to people in a way that will change their lives. You can. You can. But it doesn't happen just by sort of floating through the ocean. It happens as we get on the cruise liner that Jesus has made for us. We get into the purpose that he has for us. We get on mission with him. By the way, just a great way to be able to do this is to just have some real spiritual conversations with people. On Wednesday nights, we back before all the COVID stuff, we were doing a really awesome Bible study on Wednesday nights and everything. We've sort of shifted what we do there. Now we do something that we call the gathering, which is, well, anyway, I won't get into that joke right now. But we just gather together. That's what we do. Like, I don't know a better name for it. We just gather together. And what we do is we get together and we talk about life. And then when we talk about life, it's amazing how God sort of brings out some different themes of what's been going on. And then we just talk to each other about what God's word says about what's going on in our lives and how we can encourage one another. And so before we were doing Bible study in order to kind of help connect, we were starting with Bible study and hoping that we could connect that to life. Now what we're doing is we're starting with life and we're connecting it to the Bible. And I want you to know it's amazing. Like what we're doing is we're having spiritual conversations here on Wednesday nights. And in doing so, we're actually teaching the people that are there how to have spiritual conversations on their own. If this is something that you think about and you're like, I don't know that I can have spiritual conversations with people. Like, I just don't know that that's me. I don't know enough. I wouldn't know where to begin. Like, I just want to encourage you. Maybe you should just show up on a Wednesday night and just hear some of the things we're talking about. Because we're having some really amazing conversations. And it's just down-to-earth conversation about what happened this week. Right? You can do it. We just have to be intentional about wanting to do it. Let me skip down here a little bit. In regard to sharing with people about who Jesus is and what he's doing in your life, and as you are looking to be a disciple that's making disciples, one of the biggest things that we can do is just ask good questions. Jesus was so good at this. In fact, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus, in verse 13, says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is, right? And they give him some different answers and everything, but then in verse 15, he follows up and he says, but what about you, he asked, who do you say that I am? Now, again, this is what's so amazing in all this. This is Jesus. He was there at creation. He is the Son of God. He is about to be crucified and risen from the dead. And he ought to. He is the voice of truth, right? Like, he is, like, literally his words are in red in many Bibles anyway, right? Like, and he's the only one who gets his own color in the Bible, right? Like, he is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And yet he's asking the disciples, like, well, hey, guys, why don't you tell me what you think? Like, Jesus, why don't you just tell us what is, right? But what he recognized, it was important for them to process what they were thinking. See, as disciple makers, we can't just focus on the message of Jesus, while that is vitally important. But we also need to focus on the methods that Jesus used. And he asked a lot of questions, right? Now, you don't need to come up with the grandest, most mind-blowing questions there are, that as soon as you ask the question, whoever you're talking to is going to be like, oh, I see it now for the very first time, right? It's just a matter of being genuinely curious with people, right? About what's going on in their lives and how God could be impacting them. What we need to do, if we're going to be intentional disciples, if we're going to be intentional leaders, then we need to be intentional about asking questions that will help other people process what God is doing in their lives as well. I want to finish up with this, and that is that intentional leaders spend time loving. All right? And this is so important. We talked about this a little bit last week too, and we're gonna talk about it a whole lot more even next week, is that intentional leaders spend time loving. So many times when you feel like that message in a bottle that's just floating in the ocean, you think that life is just you, right? that your problem, that nobody else is dealing with your problems the same way that you are, and sometimes it can even feel like nobody else has it as bad as you do, and nobody would understand your problems if you did talk to somebody about it. And sometimes we can get so isolated that we fail to see that there are ways in which we can impact other people's lives. Sometimes we get so internally focused on our own problems that we fail to recognize that we are able to love others in such a way that would really impact them. See, intentional leaders are those that love the people that God is intentionally bringing them around. One of the best ways that we can do this is even just by listening to people, right? James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, right? Listening makes a difference for people. When you take time just to listen to what people are saying, like, that means so much to them. The time that you have, that you are able to invest in someone else, will absolutely change their lives when you're able to talk about Christ in those times as well. I even think of... many times, the way that we love people best is just by showing up and being there, right? I don't know that there's any better example than Mary with Jesus. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 and 47, it says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. And someone told Jesus, your mother and brother are standing outside wanting to speak with you. Now, there's a whole rest of the story that I'm not going to get into right now, but the point is, Mary was kind of following Jesus around a little bit. Like, she just wanted some FaceTime with her son, right? And she was willing to chase him down to get it. She knew where he was, and she showed up to be there. But then you go to John chapter 19, verse 25. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. I can't imagine what it would have been like for Mary to be there at the cross, to see her son on the cross, knowing who he is and everything that has been prophesied about him, knowing all of the purpose that is within him, knowing the power that he holds, like knowing all of those things, and yet there she is. She was helpless to do anything, but she was there. Church, I want you to know that as we are loving on people, as we are discipling people, one of the things we've got to do is we've got to be intentional just to show up and be there. Not necessarily here at a worship service. Let me be clear about this. I'm talking about the people that God is bringing to your mind that you can be intentional about being with, and that you can be intentional about investing in. Like, I just want you to know that when you start investing in their lives, when you start loving on them, like, if you just show up when they need you the most, that will make a world of difference. I mean, man, think about right now in your lives. Think about some hard times that you have been in. Think about the people who showed up when you thought you were all by yourself. And then think about the times when you felt all by yourself and no one showed up at all. Just showing up means so much. But that means we've got to take time away from our floating in the ocean in order to show up, in order to be there, in order to love people in a way that's really going to make a difference in their lives. I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team to come on back up. See, because at the end of the day, what it all really comes down to is trust. Like, do we really trust that God is able to not only grow us as a disciple, but do we really trust that God is able to use us as a disciple maker? Do we really trust that God is going to be able to do his part in all of this? See, when it comes to discipling others, there are always three things that are happening here. There's your part, there's the part of the person you're trying to work with, and there's God's part. We know God is going to do his part every single time, right? But do we really trust that? Do we really trust that he's gonna do something that we've never seen him do before? Do you trust that God can work in your life in such a way that you don't have to just float in the ocean anymore? But that you can be on mission, that you can have that purpose, that you can be direct in where you're going and how you're getting there. Like, do you really trust that God has a purpose and a mission and a plan for your life? Do you really trust that when Jesus died on the cross, not only did he die for the forgiveness of our sins, but he empowered us in order that we might be able to go and be on mission with him as well, that we might be able to walk in the authority that he has given to his disciples? Like, do you trust that Almighty God himself and Jesus our Savior is able to do in you what he said he can do? If you would, stand with me, please. We're going to sing a song here, and all I want you to do is just listen for what the Lord is saying to you. As we're singing here, I want you to be aware of how God is challenging. How is it that you can be intentional? Not just about seeking God, like we want to start there. And maybe you've not made that decision yet. And I want to encourage you. If you're just floating out there and you're feeling wounded and you're feeling hurt, I want you to know Jesus Christ died on the cross that you don't have to feel wounded anymore. You can be healed and made whole. You can be forgiven. You can be set free. But it all comes by simply saying, Jesus, I recognize that you alone are my Savior. I believe that you are my Savior. I confess my sin before you and that you are mine and I am yours. And you begin a relationship with him. But recognize as well that we don't begin that relationship just so we can float in a different bottle. No, we begin that relationship so we can engage the mission that Jesus died for us to be a part of. Do you trust him with your life today to be a disciple and to be a disciple that makes disciples? Say yes to him even now.